to the controversy of the moment, where the offices of the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission, or GSOC, bugged. Well, Alan Shatter met GSOC's chairman, Simon O'Brien, yesterday afternoon. Minister Shatter briefed the cabinet this morning and then told the Dáil this evening what the outcome of GSOC's own investigation was.
I'm advised by GSOC that the sweep identified what they referred to as two technical anomalies which raised a concern of a surveillance threat to GSOC. I should emphasise that my understanding is that what was at issue were potential threats or vulnerabilities, not evidence that surveillance had in fact taken place. A subsequent sweep identified a third potential issue. There was no suggestion that there was any risk of unauthorised access to the GSOC databases and documentation on them. The first identified issue arose from a Wi-Fi device, the property of GSOC, acquired in about 2008, in about 2007 or early 2008, located in its boardroom, which was found to have connected to an external Wi-Fi network. Access to this device was protected by a password, and in the absence of this password, any connection should not have been possible. In any event, GSOC does not operate a Wi-Fi network. It had never, therefore, activated the device and does not even know what the password is. But the fact of the connection was a concern. How this occurred is unknown, and there's no suggestion by GSOC that it resulted in any information being accessed. I'm also advised that the Wi-Fi device was unable to communicate with any of GSOC's databases or electronic systems, and that the boardroom is not generally used by GSOC for its meetings. The second potential issue related to the conference call telephone in the chairman's office, which was subject to a number of tests. One of the tests involved sending, apparently, an audio signal down the telephone line. Immediately after this transmission, the conference phone line rang. GSOC conducted a number of checks to establish, I'm advised, the source of this telephone call, but was unable to do so. I'm further advised that checks revealed no additional anomalies or matters of concern. I'm advised there's no evidence of which, there's no evidence of which I'm aware from my meeting with the chairman of GSOC of any phone call made or received being compromised. The third issue related to the security firm reporting the detection of an unexpected UK 3G network in the area in the locality of the GSOC offices, which suggested that UK phones registered to that network making calls would be vulnerable to interception. Importantly, I'm advised that neither the chairman nor any other member of GSOC or its employees use UK-registered mobile phones, so the presence of any such advice in the locality would not seem to have posed a threat to the integrity of GSOC's communication systems. There appears to be no evidence that what was detected had any direct relevance to GSOC. As I understand it, those three issues represent the totality of the concerns which arose. GSOC proceeded, I'm advised, to investigate all three issues, with expert assistance from the security company involved, and as I've indicated, concluded that no definitive evidence of unauthorised technical or electronic surveillance was found. GSOC decided that no further action was necessary or reasonably practical. I'm aware that some people have called for an inquiry into this matter, but this seems to overlook entirely the fact that GSOC, which is an investigatory body, carried out an investigation and itself decided that no further action was necessary. I understand that no connection between any member on Garda Síochána with any of these matters arose. This is not my conclusion. It's that of GSOC.
Alan Shatter speaking in the Dáil a few hours ago. Well, various TDs then spoke during a debate on the issue, many of them very critical of Alan Shatter and the Gardaí. Here is part of independent TD Claire Daly's contribution.
I think you took a very interesting tack in your contribution, Minister, roughly akin to sort of move along here now, there's nothing to see. And certainly from your point of view, would that that were so. But I'm sorry, but I don't think that history is going to be so kind to you. Because we have a scenario now of a constant drip, which inevitably is going to lead to a situation where the dam is going to have to break. How many special debates are we going to have to sit through here on issues of Garda accountability? We've had the special debates on the O'Mahony report, on the Shattergate incident, to hear now information that you should have had about a potential security breach in GSOC that you didn't have. And all of these issues are absolutely linked. Because, you see, the problem isn't, as Deputy Collins attributed it, a tension between GSOC and a Garda Síochána. The real problem is the axis of power and the very unhealthy, close relationship that exists between you and the Garda Commissioner. And it's from that that the tone has been set, and everything else that has happened has followed that relationship. Because the question really that we should be asking is the present scandal a sign that things are getting better, or a sign that things are getting worse? Now, let's be very clear. There is a perception out there that you and the Commissioner work very, very closely, that you are in many ways hand in glove. And that, to me, is a very unsuitable relationship. You did indeed, of course, extend his term of office beyond which any previous Garda Commissioner has been granted. You backed him up in his dealings with the whistleblowers, and when Deputy Wallace tried to bring forward legislation that might have somebody else holding the Commissioner to account rather than just you, you obviously staunchly stood in the way of that. Now, as a consequence, we have a Commissioner who believes he owns the force, they're his members, and nobody else shall challenge them. And I have to say, your comments here today, and indeed other government people, really, I think it's a case of, methinks ye do protest too much. You're kind of really falling over yourselves to tell us how great the leadership of An Garda Síochána are, and how they have nothing to answer in this case. I think, against all backdrop of all of that, the question really isn't why did they not report what they thought was a security breach to you or to the Gardaí? The real question would be, why on earth would they, against the backdrop of everything else that they have been through?
That was Clare Daly. Well, at the end of the debate, Alan Shatter got to his feet again and barely disguised his incredulity at what he had heard.
I have genuine difficulty in understanding the calls which have been made here this evening for some form of public inquiry into this matter. Is it the position of deputies that such an inquiry is necessary, even though GSOC itself has concluded that no definitive evidence of unauthorised technical or electronic surveillance was found? Is it their position that they think the GSOC, whose security is at stake, were wrong to conclude that no further action was necessary or reasonably practical? Is it their position that they are more concerned about security at the offices of GSOC than GSOC themselves are? Is it their position that GSOC is not capable of making this determination? In professing their support for GSOC, are they saying the statement that GSOC issued is untrue? Could we have some reality brought to this debate? I have no beef with GSOC. I think it's regrettable that this matter emerged in the manner in which it did. I think correctly referenced that it's cast a shadow over An Garda Síochána in circumstances in which it may be and seems to be entirely unfair, because there's no evidence available to indicate, there's no facts available, there's no material available, there's nothing available to indicate that An Garda Síochána had any hand or part in any of this. So GSOC have investigated it. They've reached conclusions. What is it is to be the subject of an inquiry? What is it? Get a headline, little bit of drama from Deputy Ross or others, but there's nothing to be inquired into, apparently.
Alan Shatter there. Well, within the past half an hour, Kieran Fitzgerald, who's a member of GSOC, spoke to Primetime's Miriam O'Callaghan, who asked him where his offices bugged.
It would be very, very good if we were able to say definitively yes or definitively no. Unfortunately, the reality of modern surveillance and intrusive surveillance mechanisms is that it's very often an inconclusive result. So what we got were credible threats to our own security. We hired consultants, experts, international experts, to consider those for us, examine those and test them. At the conclusion of their testing and their security sweeps, they were able to tell us that certain things did not look likely, and other things they could not be definitively sure.
What were the credible threats?
The credible threats were threefold. One was a piece of equipment which was connecting to an external network, a Wi-Fi device. Now, it should have been activated by a password. In actual fact, it was activating without seeming to have the need for a password, and transmitting. It did not compromise our data. It did not connect with our internal security. That was one. The second was more worrying. It was a conference call telephone, a conference call facility that we use not infrequently. And that was tested, and the test showed up what we called in our first report an anomaly.
Okay.
But it showed up something that gave them cause for concern, and their judgment was that the strange behavior of this device in response to their test was such that it could have been coincidental, it could be accidental, could be explained away, but they rated in their report the possibility of it being coincidental as close to
zero. And the third one?
And the third one was a sophisticated piece of equipment that does sweeps of buildings from an external, it doesn't have to be in the building, just in the vicinity, and that can, if you like, attack mobile phones and other devices.
So it sounds like still, like your statement last night from GSOC, which more or less confirmed what you're saying now, you still believe that there could have been bugging of your building and your equipment. And that is not what the minister is saying today.
Well, what the minister actually said was that he had received a thorough briefing from us yesterday and further again today with his officials. And what he said was that we had said there was no definitive evidence of
He said
of
actually, just to quote him, he said that what was identified was potential threats of vulnerabilities, but that there was no evidence that any surveillance had in fact taken place.
There is no evidence to suggest, to confirm that surveillance has taken place. The minister is absolutely right, and we have no, that as a result of our briefing to him, we've no disagreement on that topic.
But on the balance of probabilities, Kieran Fitzgerald, do you believe you were bugged?
Well, we cannot definitively, as the minister said, and as I'm saying now, we cannot definitively say that we were bugged. Certainly we cannot say that.
That was Kieran Fitzgerald, a member of GSOC on Primetime in the last half an hour. With me tonight, Nolene Blackwell, Director General of the Free Legal Advice Centre, Ross Maguire, barrister with New Beginning, Brendan Burgess from AskAboutMoney.com. You might have guessed from that lineup, we're going to be talking about mortgages a little bit later on. We're also joined by Labour TD Joanna Tuffy. I want to stay with this issue for the next 10 minutes or so. Joanna Tuffy, GSOC still clearly saying that it cannot dismiss that there was a threat, there were credible threats to its security. How can the government downplay it in the way that Alan Shatter has this evening?
Yeah, well, I actually read the minister's statement a while ago, and like what I picked up on was that he had said it has not been established that the offices of the Ombudsman Commission were subject to surveillance. And that's a very funny way to put it. He's very definitely not ruling it out. So like it does seem to be that, you know, what Kieran Fitzgerald was saying was true. Like, the minister wasn't exactly contradicting what Kieran Fitzgerald later said.
But was there an element of what Claire Daly was saying that the minister was trying to say, nothing to see here, move along, please?
Well, I suppose, yeah, I suppose, especially when I suppose you listen to the minister and his responses to the questions afterwards, I think you could say that. Now, the only thing is, the minister did say that, you know, he pointed out that the Garda Ombudsman Commission had agreed to go before the Oireachtas Petitions Committee tomorrow. And, like, that is an an opportunity for scrutiny by the Oireachtas. You know, obviously, I hope that that happens at the meeting tomorrow. Like, I think we need to wait and see what comes out of that.
And then what should happen? I mean, should a line be drawn under it, or is there an absolute need for an independent investigation into this?
Well, it's hard to know. I suppose, you know, would an independent investigation bring anything more out into the open than what has already been brought into the open from what we found out in relation to the Garda Ombudsman's own investigation? So, like, I suppose, you know, it's hard to know. I suppose the most important thing is that, I suppose, to establish that there was no compromise of security with the Garda Ombudsman Commission.
But their security was compromised. I mean, that is very clear. Well, their security was compromised.
Security was compromised, but that there was no information accessed through
that. But that is extremely serious,
no,
is it
is,
not?
Absolutely.
For their security to be compromised.
Absolutely. Now, I mean, apparently as well, the...
So then it must be established who compromised it?
Well, if it's possible to establish that, yes, it should. You know, and I suppose what I don't know the answer to is who should carry out that investigation, if there is an investigation of that type carried out. I very much believe in the need for the Garda Ombudsman. I think it's very important that there's public confidence in it and that it's able to do its job. I myself have dealt with the Garda Ombudsman Commission because I made a complaint on behalf of constituents a couple of years ago. And I think it's very important, that there is an independent body that people can go and make complaints about the Garda Síochána. So I think it's really important that, we get to the bottom of this. But I think the first step is to have that meeting tomorrow and see what it comes out, and then to make a determination whether there needs to be a further investigation.
Nolene Blackwell, what's your view on this?
Well, it's really good to hear Joanna Tuffy talking about the need for the confidence in the Ombudsman's office. It's a very new office. We only have it since, I think, about 2007. So 6 or 7 years, we're barely getting there. And in one sense, there is a sense of a storm in a teacup. Why wouldn't the Ombudsman do a sweep of their office if they doubted or if they had any concerns about security? When you think about it, the sole purpose of the Ombudsman is to investigate complaints by the public against the Gardaí. So they're the only people they ever investigate are the Gardaí. And we would probably say they were foolish if they put all of their security requirements into the hands of the Gardaí as well. They don't employ Gardaí to do their investigations, but they do employ former police from other countries. So to my mind, what they were doing was a reasonable job. They needed to do it and they needed to outsource it to somebody else.
And they established that their security was compromised.
Right. Now, that's where they are right now. They are a very competent body. They do a huge amount of work. And what happened was a journalist reported something that they knew about already, and that they, I think, we have to give, if we're going to have an ombudsman, I think we should be able to say we have confidence in that ombudsman to work their own way through. Now, they do report directly to the Dáil. That's the right way to report. To my mind, reporting to the Minister for Justice was an ill-conceived and a mistake on both the parts of the Minister and the Ombudsman, and shouldn't have happened. But this is a useful way to do it. I think it's important. We're having a lot of focus over these months on the Ombudsman's office and where they do hold the Gardaí accountable. It is important that the Minister has recognised they can't access the Pulse system, that guards can't complain to the Ombudsman directly. Mm. All of these are things that need to be done to make a stronger body, to make the police more accountable, because for all our sakes and for the police sake, it's great to have that independent body out there that will judge when the Gardaí behave well as when they don't behave well.
Ross Maguire, the GSOC, in their statement yesterday, they said to discontinue the investigation on the basis that no further action was necessary nor reasonably practicable. Is that sufficient, or is it essential that the public knows who compromised, who breached their security?
Well, it may be, given that they're using the phrase there, it's not practicable. It may be they've come to the conclusion it's just not possible to find out who did it. What's interesting is the use of language here. The minister is referring to there being no definitive evidence of compromise. I think there's no doubt about it that there was compromise. I mean, is it Mr. Fitzgerald on Primetime tonight is saying that the possibility of coincidence is next to zero. Mm-hmm. So I think Minister Shatter's position is not a tenable position. There has been compromise. And the question now is whether or not it is practicable this time, this distance removed, to investigate who compromised it. Now, I heard the journalist, the reporting journalist, talking about this on the media recently, and he was saying
it's John Mooney from the Sunday Times.
Yes, and he was saying that the kind of complex technology involved in this sort of bugging or whatever is not available to the public. It's available to the military and it's available to the police. Mm-hmm. So that would therefore lead one to reasonably conclude that it's the Garda Síochána or elements within it were involved in this, and that makes it very, very serious.
Even though GSOC have said there was no evidence of Garda misconduct.
No evidence of Garda misconduct. In other words, they haven't found the fingerprints, mm-hmm. but at the same time you draw a certain conclusion from the fact that this type of ability is only available to the guards, and it has happened, and GSOC is involved in investigating the guards. But it may not be practical to take it any further than that, and I think that that then would bring us back to the mistake made by GSOC. It ought to have been reported immediately, because I think, in fairness, on any fair view of this, this is very serious.
And Brendan Burgess, in light of this, fingers of suspicion pointing at the Gardaí, even though GSOC say there was no evidence of misconduct, but if there's no investigation, and on the back then of the penalty points issue, is there a question of trust in the Gardaí?
I'm here to talk about mortgages. I specifically said I wouldn't talk about this
because okay.
I haven't been following the story.
Oh, Audrey. I beg your pardon. Okay. Well, what about that question to you then, Joanna? Is there a real question of trust in the Gardaí?
Well, I think, you see, I think even besides this, there is an issue which was identified by Deputy Claire Daly when she spoke. When I was the Labour Party spokesperson for justice in the Shannon, I always argued for the need for an independent Garda authority, and I still think that's needed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember at the time looking at models of best practice in other countries, and like that was the conclusion that the Labour Party made in terms of its policy. And, like, you know, I spoke recently in the Dáil. I supported the principle of a motion from Deputy Daly and Deputy Wallace about this a few months back. Like, I feel that, you know, there needs to be a break in the connection between the Minister and the Garda Síochána. That's what I think. And it's aside from all of this,
It's in the interest of everybody. It's actually in the interest of the police themselves so that they can be seen to do their job independently, because it's that perception.
Is it too politicised at the moment?
It's the perception of politicisation is every bit as tricky for people as any political influence that might happen, which we don't know, does it or doesn't it? But certainly because of the lack of any distance between them, there is always that worry about it. So best practice everywhere is moving towards that model of an independent police authority. And look, we've got the Ombudsman. I do think we need to support the Ombudsman role very clearly for the time being. They are the consumer or the champion of the people in ensuring that our police behave, don't misbehave. And few enough do, but it's great to know that there's somebody there if they do.
Joanna, how likely is it under this government that there will be any sort of police authority put in place?
Well, it's not part of the programme for government. I mean, one of the issues, because when I made a complaint on behalf of constituents in relation to the case of Derek O'Toole, who's in my constituency, the late Derek O'Toole, and the issue that arose out of that, and the Ombudsman did a report about the need to ensure the integrity of Pulse and that it wasn't accessed inappropriately or information used from it inappropriately. And in the case of Derek O'Toole, he was a person of, you know, he had no Garda record. He was a person of, you know, impeccable character. But obviously someone, there must be mistaken identity, wrong information wasn't given out by someone in the Garda Síochána, I presume, you know, to the media. Mm-hmm. Like that's what was, I suppose, the conclusion that was drawn. And, you know, like the thing is, when I raised then the need to implement the report with the Minister for Justice at the time, like, you know, I just think it's too close the relationship, because you can't really then scrutinise the Garda Síochána. It's getting confused with the whole issue of, I suppose, the government in terms of resourcing the Garda and things like that, you know. So I don't know, but certainly that's the way I would want to see it, and I'll keep arguing for that.
Do you agree with the need for a police authority?
Absolutely. I think there could be no doubt about that, that the, you know, the question of who guards the guardians is most important. Police have huge powers, and it's in everybody's interest, including in their interest, that there be oversight. And the concern here is that there isn't. And there is a suspicion out there, you know, even when, do you remember when Claire Daly herself was arrested and handcuffed, and then more importantly, information leaked out that this had happened when she was clearly entirely innocent. It was the leaking of that. That's malign. It's wrong. And somehow, you know, you could say that 99.9% of the Gardaí are good, but then you follow up that with the Smithwick report and some condemnation of Gardaí there. I think it points towards an oversight. And this is not good for the Gardaí either, this business about GSOC, because it just smells all wrong. So put all that together, I think there's a crying need for oversight, which will be in everybody's interest.
Okay, well, we'll have an hour-long discussion on this very issue on Late Debate tomorrow night, because GSOC is up before the Public Oversight and Petitions Committee. And tomorrow night we'll have John Mooney from the Sunday Times, who had this story in his newspaper. We'll have Padraig McLaughlin, who's chairman of that committee, a Fine Gael member of the committee too, Michelle Mulheron will be here, and Mark Kelly from the Irish Council for Civil Liberties. That's all to come on Late Debate tomorrow night.